Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Amos, chapter 8. Today's message is a vital message. It is a vital life and death message. As we look through this Old Testament together, we're going to see how God's chosen people, Israel, how they continually disobeyed God. They continually disregarded His commandments, and they continually broke His law. Now, we're also going to see how this kind God continually sent a prophet to them saying, "Thus saith the Lord." If you want to be saved from your sins, then this is what the Lord has to say about it. But here in Amos chapter 8, the Lord delivers the worst news a sinner could possibly hear. The worst news. Listen to Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. The Lord said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, 'Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth,' even they shall fall and never rise up again." A famine of the words of the Lord. A drought. A hunger. A starvation. Why is that such an awful thing? Why would that be the worst thing ever? It's because Psalm 119 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Without His words, we have no light. We're in darkness, spiritual darkness. Without His words, we don't know anything about the Spirit of God. Hebrews says, "The Lord God upholds all things by the word of His power." It says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It also says that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The things we see were not made from anything that was already here. Everything was made, and everything is upheld by the words of God, including you and me. Now listen to this. This is important. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the hearing of the words of the Lord, we're going to die in our sins. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth this morning. If the Lord chooses to no longer speak to me, I'm going to die in my sins. The Lord said about a man named Ephraim, He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Oh, man, the Lord is saying, I'm done with him. After the Lord preached a message one time, his disciples came to him and said, the Pharisees were offended by what you just said. And our Lord told his disciples, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Leave them alone. I have nothing to say to them. No words for them. There's nothing in this life that could be worse than that. You know that? There is nothing in this life that could be worse than that. David wrote, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Please, Lord. Take not the revealer of the words of the Lord from me. Jeremiah, who was called the weeping prophet, the crying prophet, the lamenting prophet, he said in Lamentations chapter 2, how hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughters of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. And he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, which devoured round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He went on to say, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. Now listen to this. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. He's not talking to them. Now let me ask you this question. Am I sitting here making up crazy talk about Armageddon? Or did I just read the words of the Lord? Turn with me over a few pages past the book of Amos toward the New Testament to the book of Micah. Turn to Micah chapter 3. Verses 5 through 7 say this. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. God is not talking to them. they do not have the words of the Lord. Doesn't that cause us to see why John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit"? That word spirit means preacher. "Believe not every preacher, but try the spirits, whether they are of God." Well, back to our text, Amos chapter 8, verse 12 says this, "They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What do you mean they shall not find it? It's right here. I've got a Bible right here. Well, let me ask you this. As these new translations of the Bible continue to come out, translations of translations, and as men continue to put their two cents in there on what they think God means, do they still actually have the words of the Lord in them? Let's think about that. Do they still actually have what God said? And if they do, are men really standing up and preaching it? Are the people actually hearing the words of the Lord? Are you hearing a man stand up with God's word and declare to you what God said? Or are you watching a man stand up with his notebook and he gets behind the pulpit and he gives you a nice, wonderful lesson on morality? Are the people actually hearing the words of the Lord? Because if they're not, they're going to die in their sins. Verse 13 in our text says, "In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst." Verse 14 says, "They that swear by the sin of Samaria." That sin was they started worshiping idols. They made a golden calf. They thought they were worshiping God, but they weren't. "They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, 'Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth.'" They were all idol worshipers. It says, "Even they shall fall and never rise up again." Now, I have two questions this morning. Two questions for each one of us this morning. How can I tell if I'm in a famine? And if I am, what must I do to get out of this famine? What must I do to be fed? Well, first of all, what are the words of the Lord? Or what is the word of the Lord? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light." The Word spoke. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God said. And in Genesis 3, verse 8, after Adam and Eve sinned, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The words of the Lord is Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of the Lord is Jesus Christ. This famine is not a famine of religion. It's not a famine of churches, religious buildings, religious people. They're everywhere. It's a famine of Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Now, how can I tell if I'm in a famine? In a place of religion, what are the signs that there's a famine of the words of the Lord? If I'm sitting in a place of religion, what are the signs that there's a famine of the words of the Lord? Here's the first one. Here's the first sign. Men preach. There's a lot of preaching. But they preach without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm not talking about an emotional movement. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Men are good at stirring up emotions. But that's all a man can stir up. Emotions. When a man's voice is the only voice that's heard, when it's heard in word only, and when the Holy Spirit of Christ is not there, here's how you'll know. There will be no conviction of sin. That's how you'll know the Spirit is not there. There will be no conviction of sin. Now turn with me over to John 14. John 14, verse 16 says this, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Comforter, the Spirit. The Lord said, I will send Him to you. Now listen to John 16, verses 7 to 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove, and that word means convince, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. When the Holy Spirit of Christ is not in a place, there will be no conviction of sin. There will be no true revelation of Jesus Christ, who He really is. When you hear men and women leave services and they say, oh, the Spirit was there. We had the Spirit this morning. The Spirit was in that place. He was not there. But when you hear men and women leave services and they say, oh, Christ was with us. We saw Christ today. I believe the Holy Spirit of God was there. Because our Lord said, He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it to you. He won't speak of Himself. He's going to speak of Christ. He's going to reveal who Jesus Christ really is. And when He's not there, there will be no new life given. No regeneration. There will be no comfort over the sin He just exposed. there will be no spiritual growth. Everything will pretty much just be dead. It'll just be dead. The second sign of famine. When religion is thriving, but there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. When religion just keeps growing and growing, but there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Here's what'll happen. People will come together on Sunday, but the Lord and His Word is not with them. They really have no idea what religion, what church, and what worship is all about. They think, well, I just know I need to go to church. I just know I need to be in church. They have no idea that it's all about Christ. They have no idea that they need to be in Christ. They need to come to Christ. No idea. Our Lord, when He was 12 years old, He was returning from Jerusalem with His parents. And it says, Mary and Joseph went a day's journey, supposing Him to be in the company. When there's a famine, people just suppose. They just suppose. Did you meet with God today? Well, they had a steeple. Well, did God speak? And what did He say? Straighten up and fly right? It's better to be a good person than a bad person? You know, that'd be like going to a doctor because you have cancer. Something's wrong. And the doctor says, you have cancer. And my prescription is straighten up and fly right. Was that a real doctor? Was knowledge of medicine plentiful there? Well, he was in a doctor's office. He had on a white coat. Doctor, what should I do about my cancer? You need to love it away. Love is the answer. No! Well, why don't you join the hospital basketball team? That'll fix it. No! Doctor, I think there's a lack here. I think there's a famine here. Something's not right. When the Spirit of Christ is there, He reveals the words of the Lord. And the people walk away knowing we heard from God today. What did He say? He said, I have an awful disease called sin. And then He told me the cure for my disease. It's something called substitution. He said, I could have it for free, pro bono. I got wonderful news today. I had a good report. Good news. I heard the gospel today. When there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, the Word of God is read, but there's no applying of that Word to the heart. Those two on the road to Emmaus, they didn't say, oh, weren't our minds astonished? No, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? What was that burn? It was love. It was love for God, love for Christ, love for His Word. Somebody said, we've listened to the preacher. Truth by Him has been shown. But we need the great teacher from the everlasting throne. Application is the work of God alone. When there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord in a place, baptism and the Lord's table and prayer, they're all observed. But they don't mean anything to the person observing them. Religion says, don't you want to be saved? Well, yeah. Yeah, I want to be saved. Well, then you need to be baptized. Okay. All right, I want to be baptized. Let's do this. I want to. Well, what does that baptism mean to you? Well, it means I'm saved. Well, how do you know? Because I was baptized. If the word of the Lord is not there, it's just a meaningless ceremony. That's all it is. True baptism is something that happens to the heart. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, and then that heart deeply desires to confess it to others. When a place is in full drought, when a person is in full drought, when the Scriptures become a source of controversy instead of comfort, when they become a source of debate instead of instruction, when we're more concerned with proving our doctrine than proving ourselves and the words of the Lord to ourselves, there's a famine. Now, if I'm in a famine, how do I get out? Or if I fear this famine, how do I keep from falling into it? Well, turn with me to Psalm 51. This psalm was written when Nathan the prophet came to David after he'd gone into Bathsheba. And David was in a drought. He was not convicted of being with Bathsheba until Nathan came to him. The convicting words of the Lord were not there. But they did come when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Then David cried to God to pull him out of this drought. And God heard David. How do we know? God wrote it in His book. This is the seeking sinner's guide, and it's the believing sinner's comfort. Okay? Four things brought David out of his famine. He cried for mercy. Verse 1, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." He doesn't claim to be owed anything. He doesn't claim to have earned anything. He just begs for mercy because God is loving and kind. The second thing that brought David out of his famine is he confessed his sin. Verse 3 says, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." He was honest. He acknowledged what he was and what he'd done. The third thing that brought David out of his famine is he acknowledged the root of the problem. Verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He wasn't just sorry because he'd been caught. He was sorry for what he was, not just what he'd done. He was sorry for what he was. "I am sin." The fourth thing that brought David out of his drought was he saw his remedy. Verse 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Hyssop was what they dipped in the blood to sprinkle on the doorpost. And God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Do you know what that is? That is food to a hungry soul. That's the words of the Lord. That will end the famine. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord God bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.